Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, Egg Chasers. Welcome to episode 11 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast with me, Tim, with him, JB.
Hi, Tim.
And with Phil.
Hi, Tim.
I actually feel like before we get onto the rugby, we need to just quickly cleanse JB of his grumpiness, because otherwise we're going to have the whole podcast of him just stewing. Go on, get it off your chest. What happened on your way here?
Yeah, I'm absolutely furious. On the way here, some idiot girl, some narcissistic moron, decided to play her music not through her headphones, but through her speaker. So if you're that stupid girl with the stupid bobble hat who was travelling on the tram to Cornbrook, you're an idiot.
Do you feel better now?
Marginally.
Good.
Anyway, fine.
If it's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast blaring out loud on the speaker of someone's phone, I'm fine with that.
No, it wasn't. It's probably some unsigned band. She was so much better than me.
My brother told me the other day that he saw a random guy on the tube in Fulham listening to the Egg Chasers Podcast.
You're joking.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Is it worth telling the listeners what Phil is wearing around his neck?
Are you about to tuck into some spicy meatballs? You've got like a massive napkin around your shirt. What's going on?
So I've just come back from the gym and I've got a clean work shirt on because I'm on a course tomorrow. So I'm setting off early tomorrow morning. Last week, the dirty work shirt that I was wearing got some dirt on from the cans that we have, the headphones that we have. And so I didn't want to spoil fresh, clean work shirt for tomorrow.
He actually confided in me that he thought you radio folk are dirty. That's what he said.
Right. I think we'll move on after that to some rugby action. And how about we start with, well, as this is the last podcast in November, lots of rugby players, and not just at elite levels, but at all levels, have been supporting male health charities and raising money and awareness through Growing a Tash for Movember. So, quick question. What's the best facial hair in world rugby? And you can pick someone that's done something just for Movember, or it can just be general facial hair. Best facial hair in world rugby.
He's not got it at the moment, but did anyone see Corey Jane's rehabilitation beard? He was out for, I think it was like 9 months with cruciate ligament damage earlier this season, and he grew a pretty impressive, I think probably 9 month long rehabilitation beard.
Oh, I've got a picture of the different stages of it, look.
Oh yes.
Wow. Is that where you got the idea for your rehabilitation beard?
Something like that, yeah. I've had a bit of a rehabilitation beard recently, and it seemed to do the job for me, and it obviously did the job for him.
There's people like Luke Fitzgerald of Ireland, who had a proper porn star tash, real handlebar going on, which I really appreciated. I also really like James Haskell's, you know, proper military wing commander look.
The one I like, and I like it because it's not very good, so it's, there's actually some effort gone into it, or at least effort to keep it. Dylan Hartley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks terrible, but that's why it's good.
Yeah, even though it's embarrassing and looks terrible, he's actually suffering through it rather than the people who are doing it purely for fashion.
Yeah, I think Haskell will probably keep his. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah, maybe.
In fact, he'll probably trademark it and sell its image rights.
Brand Haskell.
Like Owen Farrell's is so weak. It's terrible. It's
really?
like a bit of dirt on his top lip.
Can I just say on the other end, someone whose facial hair has got incredible, absolutely incredible, and I'm going to another Irishman, you know who, don't you? Gordon Darcy.
From the weekend.
Gordon Darcy, your beard is such a specimen. It's absolutely incredible.
Well, he was blazing a trail with this long before Movember became fashionable. Andy Goode. Andy Goode has got a strong tradition in facial hair long before it is fashionable.
That was a little ding for the standard JB.
Well,
Andy Goode,
as
loving.
I keep saying, hear me now, believe me later. The BBC had a whole article today on Andy Goode.
Yeah,
someone tweeted us.
Next one will be an article about Charlie Hodgson.
Just one today that Dave Strettle tweeted that he's embarrassed and upset that 4/5 of One Direction can grow a better beard than he can.
Also, I've just got to mention the honey badger Nick Cummins of Australia.
His moustache.
His moustache is fantastic. I don't know, his tash sort of suits his personality. He looks like a happy-go-lucky chap, and now that matches it. And that interview that he did recently, if you missed it earlier this season...
I think I did.
Yeah, what was it?
Nick Cummins, how did it feel to be back out at NIB Stadium tonight?
NIB. Yeah, mate, it's bloody outstanding, you know. And that bloody Sea of Blue just gets right up here and gives you the strength. Bloody, I was like a rat up a drain pipe, one of them runs.
And Benny McCowan, putting him in for a try, you're going to ask him for a beer or something afterwards?
Mate, Benny McCowan? He came up to me, buddy. I think he was huffing and puffing, and mate, he did well. He always does. He's a tough racer. He's sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually, when he got up after scoring that try. But mate, he's bloody outstanding.
What a guy!
So Nick Cummins was one of the players last week that was banned for boozing midweek.
Sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage.
Sure, that's probably offensive, but it went out on television. Not the opinions of us, it's the opinions of Nick Cummins.
Well, it's not the opinions of you, Tim.
Right then, so that's Movember. Well done to anyone at all levels of rugby. I know a lot of people have been raising money in a worthy cause to raise awareness and money for. So moving on then. There's only one game we're going to talk about, isn't it? I mentioned a couple of players that were in the Ireland team, Luke Fitzgerald and Gordon Darcy, not just displaying their facial hair, but displaying some pretty immense prowess as well. What a game.
Do you want to hear a confession?
Go on, JB.
I only saw to the end of the first half.
What?
How could you watch the first half and not want to watch the rest?
Because I had to jump in the car, go back to the land of RGC to see Mother Beardmore.
Can't believe you missed that.
I know.
Mother Beardmore would have understood.
She would.
No.
With that game.
Or it would have been a call to Mother Beardmore, can you record the game so I can watch it when I get there?
I know.
Or the cars... Thinking. On the blink. It's not starting.
It'll take me an hour to get this going.
I should have driven my own car into a river just so I could watch that game.
Absolutely unbelievable game, wasn't it? Ireland going 19-0 up after 18 minutes. And then I feel like they threw it away.
You feel like they threw it away? They clearly threw it away.
They played well for the rest of the game. Their defence was incredible. And they limited New Zealand to... only a couple of chances, which, of course, New Zealand being New Zealand, they took.
Mm.
But should be disappointment for Ireland rather than, like, a lot of people saying that they were robbed. They weren't. They threw it away.
Mm. Well, they do revel in the status of gallant loser, don't they?
Well, when it comes to World Cup 2015, I think this game showed, and we talked about something similar in a previous podcast, it shows just how important a dependable kicker is going to be. Because
yes.
Johnny Sexton knocks that kick over, they win.
Yes, absolutely.
Aaron Cruden doesn't knock that kick over. It's a draw.
Yeah. This kick that Sexton missed with 6 minutes to go to put them 8 points ahead, two scores ahead, and that would have been game over. And he took a long time over it, and then he was subbed immediately after.
Yeah.
I think he was carrying a knock. And I think injuries actually took their toll on Ireland because O'Driscoll went off. Rory Best obviously went off early
on. Although Cronin did play very well. But coming on.
Yeah.
But I think in general, I'm looking at New Zealand and going, I fancy someone else to take them in the World Cup 2015 because they didn't win convincingly against any of the teams, but they won them, which is a mark of a good team. But I don't know. I was chatting to her. I was out for dinner on Saturday with a Kiwi friend of mine.
Dan Carter?
Don't reckon. Yeah. he was like, don't reckon Dan Carter's going to make it to the World Cup.
No, I don't think
he'll make it.
Really? Why?
Yeah. He's hardly played.
The number of injuries that he's had recently...
But he plays less than Gethin Jenkins.
Yeah, but he's hardly played. He keeps on picking up injury after injury. It's interesting, I didn't think Aaron Cruden played very well at the weekend.
Mm.
I thought he was often too flat and he was giving poor ball to his whoever was outside him, be it a centre or a second row or a back row. Bowden Barrett came on in the last 10 minutes.
What an impact.
And had a huge impact.
Nigel Owens, What an amazing referee that guy
is. Do you know
what?
I had that written down. He is incredible, isn't he? Why can't they all be more like...
And I think in that first half, he only gave one, maybe two penalties.
Yeah.
He was a massive reason for that game being as good as it was. And yeah,
do you think it's because Nigel Owens is sort of famous now in his own right for various offers?
I don't know if it's got anything to do with it.
I think, is it because he's famous in his own right? Whereas Steve Walsh is desperate to be famous, so therefore gets himself on TV as much as possible. Nigel Owens hasn't got anything to prove.
No, I still get that vibe, like, away from rugby from Nigel Owens. I think he tries to do as much publicity stuff as he possibly can do. He's got that book where he came out for being gay and talked about his steroid use in the past.
Is that a while ago, that book? Yeah, it is.
But I think on the pitch, he's superb.
I think he's magnificent.
A lot of people took to Twitter straight after the Ireland game saying that there's no coincidence that the two best games of the year and two of the best games in many a year, the New Zealand South Africa, were both reffed by Nigel Owens.
I don't know why more people can't do reffing like Nigel Owens. The blueprint is there, and yet they continue to act like Wayne Barnes.
Yeah, Wayne Barnes, he just talks down to everyone.
Imagine that you'd been brought up in a basement for 18 years and then told to ref a game. You'd probably ref it like Wayne Barnes.
But at least that we've got Nigel Owens in World Rugby. He is.
We salute you, Nigel.
He's as good a referee as Kieran Reid has been a rugby player in the last year. So they're
on par.
Fair play.
Yeah. Super,
well done.
Superb.
I mean, here's a question for you. That's going to rank as one of the best games in the modern era. But what's the best game you can remember, either playing in or watching?
Well, probably the two best games I've watched live have both been this year.
Go on.
Both involving New Zealand.
Go on.
New Zealand, South Africa.
New Zealand, South Africa.
Oh, what a game!
The,
yeah.
The Rugby Championship decider this year, when the lead changed hands and changed hands.
Well, my favourite game, I think, or the best game I've watched, was France, New Zealand. The absolute classic where...
In the World Cup.
World Cup semi-final, Christophe Dominici.
Oh,
with
my word. Last
yeah, I remember that. That was incredible.
That was.
But the most enjoyable game was when I went down to London Welsh to watch Wales versus England. And do you know that commentary by Eddie Butler? England, what are you doing? Wales, what have you done? What a game that was.
What year was that?
It was Grand Slam II, as I call it, or Grand Slam 2.
We tried to rack my brain about a game that involved England, and the only one I could come up with was the World Cup quarterfinal against Australia in 1995, and it was that drop goal from Rob Andrew right near the halfway line.
Oh, yeah, that was the
last minute.
I watched that with my dad, actually.
And then the next game, England got absolutely annihilated by John Olomu, which would be another contender for one of the best games.
What? Yeah, from the other side.
What about that Tri Nations game where there was three early tries by...
New Zealand streaked ahead 24-0 at one point, and then Australia went to 27-24. This was in 2000.
That was Gregan Larkham, Gray Herbert, the evil wizard Mortlock.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. And John Olomu scoring the winning try.
One of the best ones that I've seen England play was New Zealand last autumn.
That's a good shout.
Brilliant performance.
What about yourself? You've played at a decent level for quite a few years, Phil. You must have had a bit of a humdinger of a match.
One that I remember was, we're talking like 7 years ago, playing against your old club, Newbury.
Yeah.
At Park Lane, Sedgley's home ground. And we weren't playing very well. And we were losing by 12 points with less than 5 minutes to play. And managed to score two tries in the last 5 minutes to win the game. And converted them both to win by 2 points. Just at the weekend, played in quite a high-scoring game. Which was a record win for Sedgley Park. Record win in the league.
Wow.
90 points to 5.
Wow, you know, against who?
Against Bromsgrove. Before that game, they'd won 4, lost 6. And they'd not been thrashed by anyone, but they had a couple of players injured. We just played some really, really good stuff.
But your kicker got 14 out of 14.
Yes, unbelievably.
What?
That's like... What?
Two penalties, 12 conversions, including at least 4 from the touchline. All 14 banged over.
That's amazing.
We've all done it, I guess.
Well, one person who has done it, and this moves us on quite nicely to the IRB Player of the Year, one person who has done that, as he showed in the summer playing for the Lions, is Lee Halfpenny, one of the players shortlisted for the IRB Player of the Year.
Shortlist, is that a pun?
On Lee Halfpenny's part, definitely. Not Etzebeth or Parise or Kieran Reid, who are the other players, along with Ben Smith as well of New Zealand. What do you make of those five players? And who do you think will or deserves to win it? And is there anyone else you
read them
put in? So you got from New Zealand, Kieran Reid and Ben Smith.
Okay.
From South Africa, Eben Etzebeth. From Italy, Sergio Parise, and Wales, Lee Halfpenny.
Not Parise, that's what I first thing I'd
yeah,
say.
I don't think he's
it
done.
It sounds like a bit of name recognition, like Lifetime Achievement Award type thing, that.
Yeah, which is...
Possibly.
Which is what they got accused of last season when both McCaw and Dan Carter got nominated, despite only playing a handful of games last
yeah,
year.
Yeah,
Halfpenny did well. I still... You wouldn't say he's the best player
oh,
in the
come
world.
On, he dominated the Lions.
He was very good.
In attack, yeah. In attack and his kicking and tactical, he was the player of the tour. And
yeah,
that agreed. was the most high-profile rugby that's been played this year.
I would put him in the top five just because of how important he was for both the Six Nations win for Wales and the British and Irish Lions winning in Australia.
Yeah,
he was instrumental in both, and he was top point scorer in both tournaments as well.
I would have liked to have seen Juan Martín Fernández Lobbe getting. I think he had in a team that has been struggling, he has played so well for Argentina.
Yeah,
and won the European Heineken Cup.
Kieran Reid.
Oh yeah. Well, so, yeah, I mean he's on the list definitely. Can you see past him?
I can't. Planet Rugby website.
Yeah.
Had a poll today on who you think should win. Out of those five, Kieran Reid had 62% of the votes.
What?
Next closest was Halfpenny with 15%.
Wow.
It's an absolute landslide.
Kieran Reid had a phenomenal year.
A couple of others I would have liked to see on there. I would have put Folau on there because I think he's...
George Norton shout.
He's the best player in the Australian team. I think he's been absolutely superb all year in a team that has been up and down as well. Sevilla for New Zealand has been exceptional.
Yeah, he has.
Liam Messam as well. Captain the Chiefs to a second Super Rugby title in 2 years and has been superb for New Zealand in their unbeaten run. And Adam Jones, I think, was, again, instrumental for... Like, he was so
Crocs
important.
Go overlooked, though, don't they?
Yeah, but he was so important for the British and Irish Lions.
Any English players?
Not this year.
No.
In a word, no. That's the IRB Player of the Year, but let's have a look at looking back on the year. Now the internationals are finished, bar Australia, Wales this weekend. Let's have a look at kind of where the big teams are at the end of this year. Like an end-of-year report, if you like.
So I think England are like third best in the world, according to IRB rankings. And
Wales...
Fourth.
As of the weekend just gone, they're fourth. Australia are now above them.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
And Wales are up to fifth.
Right. Well, clearly Wales are a lot better than England.
Well, this year, Wales have lost more games than England. And last autumn, which will still have weigh heavy, Wales lost 4 out of 4.
Because
they're back in your box, Beardmore.
Yeah, but that was
you, one-eyed Welshman.
No, well, they lost to Japan over the summer.
Yeah, but that doesn't really count. I mean, that's ludicrous.
They lost to Samoa last autumn.
Stop.
Samoa.
That's stop. You're defeating his argument with logic. Stop.
No, all the Welsh players were playing for the Lions.
Strength in depth.
I would say, looking at the end of season kind of report, you'd go New Zealand. Well, where are they? You'd say unbeaten season, won everything.
Yeah.
Surely this has got to be one of their greatest years. But I think there's some creaks, there's some little cracks.
Ironically, New Zealand, despite being unbeaten, the game against Ireland showed they are beatable.
But they still won. Yeah. If anything, it shows me that they're not really beatable.
No,
they always find a way to win.
They are incredible. They are incredible.
But they are beatable.
South Africa.
Won 10 out of 12 games, only lost to New Zealand twice.
If New Zealand saw South Africa in the World Cup, it could well be a different story.
Could be. Australia, they've had a bit of a topsy-turvy year, haven't they?
Yeah, they won 6 out of 13 games this year, 46%. Only won 2 in the Rugby Championship, but they only beat Argentina twice. One of those was only by 1 point.
Do you think the problem with Australia is they're not very good?
Well, I think they're now getting a structure back under Ewan McKenzie, and I think having Quade Cooper back at 10 with
that's a big difference
with his new mentality as well. I think is
hang on, I don't think Quade Cooper has any other mentality other than the one he has.
Well, no, I mean his off field mentality.
He's getting smashed in a bar,
yeah. In years gone by, he would have been one of the six players who would have been banned for being drunk.
He probably just didn't get caught.
Possibly.
That's what.
Had some tree ball mints in his pocket.
Right, how do you rate them? Because they are currently number four in the world rankings. When you look at England, their end of year report, what do you kind of say about that?
7 out of 10.
England forwards, I think, are right up there. England backs, as has been playing in the autumn internationals, I think are pretty low. So on average, yeah, 7 out of 10.
I say every week they're just an average, a good, solid team. There's nothing more to them than that. A completely different set of backs, could be a good team.
I think if you put Yard and Tuilagi in that team,
Yard and Tuilagi, this is your recipe for success. My word.
Wales. I look at them, like, you look ahead to the Six Nations. Who's going to start favourites for the Six Nations? You would have thought Wales, but will it be Wales? I don't know.
Well, the Wales first team, you'd have to say it would be favourites, but I don't fancy Wales' chance against France. I never do.
Yeah, and a couple of injuries.
France look awesome.
A couple of injuries for Wales. Oh, down to bare bones.
When we're down to Ashley Beck, it's troublesome.
Say France look awesome. They look awesome and they look terrible.
Yeah.
France have won 2 out of 11 games this year.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's shocking.
Been beaten by New Zealand 4 times.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've played a lot of tests there.
In the Six Nations, they finished bottom. Mm-hmm. They lost to Ireland, Wales, England, and then... Italy, Wales, England, and then drew with Ireland. They only beat Scotland in the Six Nations.
I know it's a cliche, but they can turn it around real fast.
Tell you what, I look at a lot of teams, and you say this about Australia, Wales, France, Ireland, Scotland. It's like a lot of the teams are great 1 week and then go AWOL the next week. And that's the one thing I would say for England is, it might not be flashy, and it might not be the most effective or attractive, but there's a level of consistency which does fill me with a bit of optimism for England.
Yeah. Ireland looked great against Samoa, but we now know that that's not a good result because Samoa went on to lose to the French Barbarians and Georgia at the weekend.
Wow.
I know. But then they looked like world beaters for 20 minutes against New Zealand, and even though they didn't win, their defence was very impressive throughout the rest
Isn't
of the match.
Isn't that so classically Irish, just to get up for one game, really get fired up?
Yeah.
Did you hear the commentary, by the way? Not in your wildest Guinness-fueled dreams or something. What was the
bit of product placement on the BBC?
Yeah.
Wow. Come on then, I'll tell you what, pick a Six Nations winner and pick a World Cup winner based on what you've seen this year. Six Nations first. Pick a Six Nations winner right now.
France. New Zealand.
I'd love to say England for the Six Nations, but I think, providing they don't get too many injuries, I think Wales could do it again.
I'd love to see that.
World Cup. Before the weekend, I would have said New Zealand hands down every day of the week. After it, I think that there's 4 or 5 teams in the world that could beat them on their day. And I think New Zealand will go into every single game as considerable favourites. But in knockout rugby, as I keep saying, it's fine margins.
I think Wales will win the Six Nations.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll win a Grand Slam.
No.
But I think they'll win the Championship. I think it'll be very close, though. And I think South Africa will win the World Cup.
Wow.
Yeah, South Africa's a good shout.
They have won before in the Northern Hemisphere.
And they've got a few players playing in the Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
Mm.
Did you see the pack weights, France versus South Africa?
This is shocking.
South Africa were 7 kilograms heavier per man in the pack. That's a full stone heavier.
What?
Average weight was close to 18 and a half stone.
Oh, my goodness.
Average weight for a forward.
They're monsters, aren't they? Absolute monsters.
Incredible.
Huge men. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, we're talking about New Zealand maybe having some chinks in their armour and the odd little crack appearing, and is Dan Carter going to turn up? But the next man that's going to feature in Rugby Oki could be a potential solution, Mr. Benji Marshall, who is the subject of Rugby Oki. Now, Benji Marshall played for West Tigers.
West Tigers. NRL.
In the NRL. He is moving to the Auckland Blues, $500,000 New Zealand dollars per year.
So what's that, £3.50?
Yeah, something like that. And he's going to be playing, and you'd think he'll be on the radar of the All Blacks. Have you seen some of his skills?
Nope.
Sidesteps that make Quade Cooper look pedestrian.
Really?
Yeah. Phenomenal.
The change of direction, like 10 metre lateral to change of direction.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Incredible.
It's ridiculous. But Rugby Oki, which started as a little flippant thing we did to celebrate the fact that Matt Stevens loved a good sing song. That's Matt Stevens singing on X Factor back in the day, Celebrity X Factor. If you stay here in this moment, And of course, it was started to celebrate a certain Mr. Alex Corbisiero's incredible rapping skills.
Oh, I thought there's some more Corbisiero for a sense.
New material. Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet. Scrum is straight, term is right, I don't deny it. Test me, try it. Style, you don't buy it. I'ma grab the microphone and start to fly it. Up high, grab the mic and make you cry. Told you before, we represent L.I. London Irish.
You can't deny this, so sick of telling you can't buy this.
Right, I need some help on this.
Yes.
Is it scrimmage straight, wheel right, or is it scrimmage straight, time is right?
Scrum is straight, time is right,
I don't deny it.
It's definitely
time is right.
I've just, yeah.
I've been singing it wrong all... Oh, my God.
Maybe we'll put some lyrics up on Twitter or something so people can sing along to their podcast.
Well, I think actually wheel right would be the better lyric. But...
But it's an infringement. Might give away a penalty.
Oh.
So Benji Marshall is a pretty amazing talent from Rugby League who's coming to Rugby Union.
Yes,
and, means we have one more rugby playing singer. Check this out. This is off of What Is Rugby Tonight in Rugby League in Australia and New Zealand. And this is Benji Marshall singing with another Australian international, Sam Fyday.
Benji Marshall, Sam Friday, on the Footy Show Live. Big cheer, guys. Danny Wilder exclusive. Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday. We were making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday. Monday, I took her for a drink on Tuesday. We be making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday. One, two, three into the four. Benji and Sammy T knocking at your door. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up.
What's up with his mate's name? Sounds like Sammy.
Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble. Benji and Sammy together, now you know you're in trouble. Monday, took her for a drink on Tuesday. We be making love by Wednesday. And on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we chilled on Sunday.
Pretty high level, actually.
Benji Marshall's playing the guitar as well, by the way, on that.
Well done, Benji.
I just want you to listen to, the lyrics one more time. Bearing in mind the song is about a kind of, you know, sexual encounter.
Well, and with his mate, Semi.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he says it like three or four times.
Semi.
Have a listen to the lyrics. Just listen to the lyrics. Bearing in mind it's about a sexual encounter, because it kind of sounds a bit dodgy, because there's one about me and Benji are here knocking at your door. And
one, two, string into the four. Benji and Sammy T knocking at your door. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up, because you know we're about to rip it up.
Benji's going to rip it up with his Sammy. Wonderful.
Well done. That's Rugby Okie for this week.
It's quite a good one,
it's a great one.
I think that's going to be one of my favourites, you know, when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
We might be playing that one every week instead of Alex Corbisiero.
No.
Let's not go that far.
Silly.
Right, well, at Rugby Podcast, if you want to have a look at the video of that, eggchasers.com. And yes, that was Benji Marshall making his debut in Rugby Okie on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. It's time for us to pick our dream team. So we pick a topic, then we select 15 players to wear the shirts. If you agree, disagree, whatever, the conversation continues on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Love to hear from you there. And the topic this week is a great one. Who's responsible for this out of you two, JB, Phil?
Beardmore.
Yeah.
It's yours, is it, Beardmore?
It is, I guess.
Well, you introduce it then, Beardmore. Go on.
Okay.
Go on, JB.
It's the Flair 15.
Nice. I like that. So this is those players that are, we're not going the best players, the most skillful and the most...
Exactly.
Full of flair.
Exactly.
All right. Shall we start in the front row?
Because usually we start off very, very strong. By the time we get to fullback, he'll do. So this should be the opposite way around.
Well, I'm going to suggest one straight in there at prop.
Go on.
Phil Vickery. At the time, completely changed the mould of what it meant to be a prop. Suddenly you had a prop that was offloading, was doing runs, running down the wing, scoring a try.
If you want to talk about running props, how about Martin Madden for Wales? He could really run.
Could he catch?
Oh, I doubt it.
I was going to say, running doesn't qualify to be in a Flair 15. Phil Vickery is offloading and all kinds.
Well, Darren Morris had wonderful hands for a prop.
Big, Big man. Wonderful.
I was going to say, yeah. that's a proper cliche, that. Good hands for a big lad.
No, no, thank you. And Christian Califano played Saracens, went down to Australia, played there. He kicked a penalty for Saracens.
What?
Oh, really?
There you go.
That's a great bit of knowledge.
Yeah.
Let's drop a knowledge bomb right there, JB. That's good knowledge.
Thank you.
If it's true.
It is true. Against...
Whoa, wait. Knowledge.
More knowledge for Christian Califano. He played against the Lions twice, and he's French.
Really?
Yeah. He played for the President's 15 in Australia, and he also played maybe the Waratahs.
The only thing I can find on him is France prop Christian Califano headbutts the Fijian prop.
That sounds like him. Didn't kick all the time, but he has had a kick. Trust me, it's 100% correct. So that's the end of that.
Okay. I choose to trust you. Christian Califano and Phil Vickery.
Prop. A couple of seasons ago, he scored a 40-metre try against Saints, including a couple of sidesteps. Bath prop Anthony Piranesi.
Oh, yes. Oh, that would be a great shout.
I tell you he's pretty solid with ball in hand is Kean Healy.
He's some player, isn't he?
Yeah, he
just
is.
He probably looks the part more than any other player in world rugby.
Oh, he can play a bit, though.
Oh, no, totally he can play. I'm saying he can back it up, but he just looks the part as
he
well.
He does look good.
Do you know what his nickname is?
Hilo.
Church.
He has a small career as a professional DJ going by the name DJ Church.
Well, he's not the only one. He's lip. I've got a friend who had to unfollow him because the amount of nonsense he was putting on about DJing.
Wow.
So, yeah, it kind of runs strong in the Irish team, that.
Clearly. Go on, Phil, pick two props.
I like Vickery and Piranesi just because there's YouTube clips of both of them scoring 40-yard tries.
We can verify the facts.
Yeah.
We can yes. back it up.
Very good point, Tim.
Hooker.
Loads.
Go on.
Phil Greening.
Oh, yeah.
Keith Wood. Shout Brits.
Shout Brits.
Oh, Shout Brits, yeah.
Shout Brits, just because he plays like a centre.
Yeah.
Oh.
He could, if he didn't wasn't capped for South Africa, he could solve England's centre crisis.
Shout Brits, they based the whole game plan around him standing back to receive yeah. kicks.
But yeah, playing like an extra fullback.
That was the whole game plan, so it's got to be Shout Brits, although yeah. Keith Wood would be a great shout as well.
Yeah.
Okay, into the second row, then. I bet we all pick the same person.
John Eales.
Yeah, John Eales.
Yeah.
Ali Williams did an amazing clearance kick against Wales a few years ago. Pinned down in his own 22 and just spiralled it back across field. And at that point, we're like, oh, really?
I've done that once in my career. A perfect, perfect spiral. And it's so much better when a forward does it unexpectedly and just booms it.
It still makes me angry when I see forwards kick in.
Yeah, with their just, big clumpy boots, their ankle high boots.
And it looks, most of the time, it looks like they're kicking left footed. Even though.
Back row.
The one that I was thinking of was, do you remember the Heineken Cup final about 4 years ago? I think it was 2009. Cardiff Blues played Leicester.
Yes.
And it went to extra time.
Oh, yes.
And it was still a draw. And it went to a sudden death kicking competition.
Yeah.
And Martin Williams stepped up in about eighth place.
It's how tragic this was.
And missed. And Jordan Crane stepped up and slotted it.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten about that.
That was a good game, that.
Problem is, again, I don't really want Jordan Crane in a Flair 15. He has got good hands and stuff, but...
No, yeah, no.
Doesn't feel right. The kick. Michael Jones, the old New Zealand flanker, that guy was incredible offloads.
Mm. Well, despite missing the kick, Martin Williams was a great link player.
Yeah, decent hands.
Okay, so
two that are playing now and two that are nominated for AIB Player of the Year just because their offloading and handling skills are as good as any forward and as good as half the backs, Parise and Kieran Reid.
Mm. Well, the other one I had was James Forrester. He was very, very good. Again, cut short by injury.
Tom Croft for his long-range tries.
Yeah, he'll be fit again for the next Lions tour.
Go on then, Cocker. Who do you reckon?
I think Michael Jones and Zinzan Brook were the two best Flair back row players, and then it's one more.
I wouldn't pick Nathan Budgett, despite him being a basketball player and a volleyball player. So what are we saying? Zinzan Brook at eight.
Nathan Budgett. Zinzan Brook, Michael Jones, two Kiwis, and then Aaron Nordicke.
Excellent. Well done.
Yes.
Him and Aaron Nordicke to complete our back row. He can play
dream back row of that.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Bosch, done. So into the backs then, scrum half.
Austin Healy.
I was about to ridicule you then, but that's not a bad. That's a good shout.
Yep. And he's done the overhead kick and scored from it.
He's done a bit of dancing as well.
Did a bit of dancing, yep.
Well, of course, we'll be able to see his skills up close when egg chasers go and spend a bit of time backstage at Rugby Tonight. That's something that's coming in the new year. Keep an ear out for it.
Just a little hint for that.
Waisali Serevi. I don't know whether you play him 9 or 10.
No.
15.
15? No. Who knows?
You only play him when the temperature's above 15 degrees.
He went to Leicester and had an absolute shock.
Apparently
he
used to wear tights and gloves. Just wouldn't train in the rain.
I don't know where on the field you play him, but in terms of pure skill, has there been a rugby player that has been as immense
some of the
as
videos.
Him?
We could have Serevi at scrum half.
Yeah, let's go Serevi scrum half then. Yeah. Bosh, done. That's where Leicester tried to play him. Didn't really work.
You're not going with Harry Ellis?
No.
Okay.
Not Sean Perry?
Not so much.
Fly half then. This is the toughest call.
A call of Spencer's once in a generation. Come on.
But there's a lot that deserve to be mentioned.
Apparently, now I don't know if this is true, but this came from a New Zealander who used to play at Colwyn Bay. Apparently, in the World Cup which England won, New Zealand had a load of moves which had been working on, but they weren't meant to play them until like the knockout stages. And Carlos Spencer just went through the card on the first game when they battered someone like 90-0, and gave away the game.
Yeah, they were saving all their special moves.
So.
But Carlos Spencer definitely deserves a shout. I think Jonathan Davies does as well.
Oh, good.
Although his career wasn't particularly long. But
yeah, but you watched some of his
incredible skills.
Highlights. Yeah. And there's things on there you can't coach, like fly hacking a ball from your own 22 to score a try. He just keeps kicking it.
I remember watching him play in league as well, and some of his dummy kick and go and make like an 80-metre break, that kind of thing. And some of his sidestepping was superb.
Quade Cooper as well. I think you've got to mention him. And then going back a bit, the king, Barry John.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. I had Andy Goode in my mind. yes, Barry John was good too. To be fair, there's got to be a certain amount of swagger. And I actually think when Carlos Spencer starts his own move from underneath his own posts, scores the try, and then walks it to the touchline to put the ball down, that to me seals it. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I wouldn't want to back any team to win that had Serevi at 9 and Carlos Spencer at 10.
Yeah, in
but
December.
It would be fun to watch.
Yeah, what would be the worst moment for him? December, playing Sale on a Friday.
Carlos Spencer once played at Sedgley Park.
Wow.
For Northampton. There was a few of us having a few beers on the sideline.
Because you were injured.
Either injured or I was not in the first team at that time. A few of us having a beer, and one of the older boys who coached Sedgley for a bit was giving Spencer loads of stick, and at one point after Northampton had scored one of their many tries, Sedgley were restarting and Carlos Spencer caught the ball in touch on the touchline and threw a 30-yard reverse pass while staring the guy who'd been heckling him the whole game in the eye.
Into the centres, I mean, dare we look past Jamie Noone and Brad Barrett?
Oh, wow.
England have had some flair.
Concrete hands and concrete shoulders.
Concrete feet as well.
Yes. Terrible at swimming.
And then, Phil, this is your specialist area then, centres.
One of my favourite players at the moment, Wesley Fofana.
Mm.
I think his ability to beat defenders, particularly from inside centre, is superb.
I tell you who was ridiculously skillful for considering what country they came from. Gregor Townsend.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have thought Scotland could have produced that on their diet of processed white food? But they did.
Philippe Seller.
What a player.
Incredible.
What a player. Step, gas. Oh, yeah. Man. I would put him in that.
Sonny Bill is inside centre.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
That guy's an incredible. Just an unbelievable. You know, a different type of athlete. It's like he's been, you know how Terminator arrived in that ball naked. It's like Sonny Bill's just arrived, gone into a bar, give me your boots.
Well, Kieran Reid is.
You're closing your motorcycle and off he goes.
Sonny Bill is carved out of granite specifically to play rugby.
Yeah.
All box, yeah. He'll do anything he wants.
Sonny Bill,
yeah.
Sonny Bill, Seller. Sonny Bill and Seller.
Gusker, O'Driscoll.
Yeah, O'Driscoll when he was...
Flair, though. I don't know about Flair.
Oh, hang on. O'Driscoll's... What about that
I'm
double,
not saying he's not skillful.
The greatest try never scored.
The greatest try never scored. The double kick, you've seen that one? Where he chips it and then he volleys it again.
Oh, yeah.
So he does two. In fact...
And his hat-trick against France in, like, 2000, 2001, yeah. When he was just coming onto the scene.
And in fact, Will Skinner for Harlequins did that. He chipped one player, caught the ball, chipped the next. So if we're struggling for a seven, I just remember Will Skinner.
We're not struggling for a seven. Will Skinner's safe. We'll call you, don't call us.
Will Skinner, claim to fame, headbutted me in Bristol.
What?
Yeah. Why? Hold on, that deserves a name drop. There we go.
Just did. Wasn't malicious. We were having a few beers, having a good time. He told me that he was played Leicester. And we're students, and he headbutted me.
Like a loving headbutt.
Yeah, I think so. Hmm. There you go.
But okay, outside backs.
Oh, where do we start? Jason Robinson.
Yep. Yeah. Can you beat his feet in acceleration?
No. Christian Cullen back in the day.
Oh, wow. Cullen.
Yeah. He was incredible.
Yes, he was.
They're my two favourite fullbacks.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Rocothoco.
Oh, yeah. Foul?
Yeah, Rupini Foul.
David Campese, I reckon, has to get in the team.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think Serge Blanco.
Oh, no.
Proctor.
Sivi Vaatu.
Oh, wow.
Christophe Dominici.
Oh, my word. Yeah. I'm going to say Campese's got to be in there.
Campese. Why?
Because he had it all, and he was incredible. He was amazing.
How about the Japanese kid that took his record? He was delighted about that.
Yeah, the highest international try scorer is Japanese.
Japanese player, yeah. Campese was furious. In fact, it's worth bringing up the quotes.
The chap was Daisuke Ohata.
We knew that.
Yeah. He scored 69 tries in 58 games for Japan.
Quite good.
Campese was 64 in 101.
Put it mildly, he was furious about the... about what happened.
But the Japanese guy said, in a way, I feel a bit sorry about breaking Campese's record, but it's great to break it just before the Soccer World Cup starts. I don't understand the link.
Oh, it's a clear link. I don't know what it is.
I don't get it. Shane Williams.
David Campese, Jason Robinson.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if we move Robbo into the midfield, we can accommodate Cullen as well.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh. What a 15. If you agree, disagree, think someone else deserves a shirt, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, eggchasers.com. Well then, that brings to an end episode 11 of the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Just to say that on Friday, Thank Rockets Friday will come out. This is where we look ahead to the weekend's games. So make sure you download that one and have a listen on Friday. Thank you very much for giving it a listen. We need some rugby okie to play us out. What are you in the mood for?
Ricky Flutie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ricky Flutie.
Okay, Ricky Flutie plays us out. This is his song that he did with Kefu when he was playing at Wasps after getting a singing lesson from M People's Heather Small.
Oh, oh play, we play,
bye.
We play
in a bit.
And very soon they'll know just who we are. And through the eyes of Sean, he sees rugby stars.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.